It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports 1140.
Welcome back. The good news yesterday, the good news yesterday was, you know, you go through the whole summer and you're talking about, you know, baseball in June, just rubbing your hands together and praying for football to start and then, you know, basketball behind it and for you to have stuff to talk about. So the good news was yesterday. I knew coming into today, of course, oh my goodness, the show will almost write itself. You know, there's a ton of stuff to talk about. We're not going to get to it all today. So the rest of the week, I want to remind you, by the way, Whitey Gleason joins me tomorrow. Jason Ross is in New York for broadcast meetings. Jay will be gone also tomorrow. So it'll be myself and Whitey coming to you. Many of you, most of you, I would think, remember Whitey from The Rise Guys. So it'll be good to see him, hear from him. And we'll cover a lot of the things we haven't gotten to today. But our guest list is awesome and leading us off each and every Monday. We had him Tuesday last week because of travel. We'll probably do that a couple other times this year. But the one, the only, somebody who exceeds everybody's knowledge just when it comes to the franchise that is the San Francisco 49ers. He writes for The Athletic, and I read him, as many of you do as well, each and every week. Matt Barrows joins us. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Dave?
I love my Niners, and so this is not a, hey, Matt, let's have hot takes. Like, I love this team, and I have my whole life. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to figure out, because I hate injuries. I think they should be outlawed. I hate what happened to Trey Lance. I'm not one of those they're better with Jimmy Garoppolo, even though I might be wrong. But is there a way to ethically open up to the possibility that they're a better team today with Jimmy Garoppolo and use that as just some sort of optimism for the fan base without sounding like a complete ass when it comes to Trey Lance and how horrible that was?
No, I mean, I think that's just called an analysis, right?
Yeah.
I think it is right. Jimmy Garoppolo is the better passer of the two right now, in mid-September. The reason why they were going with Lance is that they felt that the big missing element with Trey Lance is his experience, his lack of experience. So you give him all these snaps, and over time, he becomes better than Jimmy Garoppolo, a better quarterback, a more dangerous quarterback. And does that happen at midseason? Is it December? Is it going into year three for Lance? I don't know what it was, but he needed the seasoning, the experience to do that. And so that's why he had one guy on the bench and one guy starting. But here we are going into week three, and I certainly think that the 49ers' passing game is now better, at least more consistent, with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. And you can argue that the running game isn't quite as dangerous. I think that is also right. But the 49ers have had some tremendous running games with Jimmy Garoppolo under center, going back to the 2019 playoffs against the Packers, last year's game against the Rams that really kind of jolted the 49ers into their winning ways. And then yesterday, they ran the ball 45 times, with 33 of those coming after Garoppolo entered the game. So I think that it is a stronger team. I think it's really the future now that you're really worried about if you're a 49ers fan.
Matt Barrows of The Athletic with us. So much of this year was the tantalizing future, the unknown with Trey Lance, the hope. So he played like five quarters, not even that. Going into next year, and God knows what's going to happen between now and then, but let's just assume for a second, and I think it's kind of a safe assumption, that Trey Lance will be starting game one next year. I would bet on that rather than the opposite. So, Matt, do we know anything more? Did you learn anything about Trey Lance in 4.5 quarters that did you learn anything?
Well, I mean, it's a great point because there's going to be all sorts of quotes from coaches and Lance about how he was able to go up into the booth this season and really kind of observe things from on high and watch Jimmy operate. And yes, I took steps forward in my development, but really the answer is going to be no. You need to be out there playing. So, that's the big loss here is that he's losing another year of development. And this is the guy whose 2020 season in college was wiped out by COVID, who last year was up and down because of one injury after another, to the point where, he went off to work with his quarterback coaches in, February, March, and April, and really all they were doing was getting him back to normal where he had started 2021. I mean, there wasn't any additional improvement of his throwing motion, shortening it, making it more efficient. He had gotten so beat up as a rookie, he just had to get back to, status quo for him. So it's a great question. And the other great question is, does Kyle Shanahan, as they begin the 2023 season, start to see him differently? I mean, because it's obvious now that the big lure for Trey Lance, the reason why Shanahan drafted him is because he likes him as a runner. He made that clear from draft day.
Yeah.
That when a guy can run, it gives you an extra element. You have to play 11 on 11 if you're the defense. We like him because of his runner. It's not. I think a lot of people thought okay, he's sort of weaning him on this game by allowing him to run, and that gives him lots of experience, and eventually he becomes just a pocket-only quarterback. I mean, Shanahan really likes the fact that he can run the ball, and it's clear from the scant games that we've seen that this was a major element of the game plan. So I think that has to change. And if it doesn't change, then that's on Kyle Shanahan because it's clear now that you can't run him 15 times a game and expect him not to get injured.
Matt Barrow's with us. A tweet from Ed Werder from about a year ago, and I'm sure other people disseminated this too. This is from a scrum, I would imagine, saying that Kyle Shanahan said despite injuries at running back, again, this was a year ago, he doesn't view rookie Trey Lance as a solution to create rushing yards. Quote, he's not Lamar Jackson. Trey is a quarterback who has the ability to run, but to just line him up and run him, the game is too physical. Now, this is being disseminated by some as a gotcha at Kyle Shanahan. Again, nobody knows more than you. Every quote that's ever come out, everything that's in and out of context. Is there any fairness or overall, do you think it's fair that people are throwing that comment back in Kyle's face? Or, is it a little out of context?
Well, no, I think it's fair. I mean, he's the play caller. I mean, this didn't come out of the blue. There were all sorts of questions coming out of the Bears game about how much Lance ran the ball. And not just the sheer number, but it was the way he was running the ball. It wasn't scampering out of the pocket, then doing a quick slide, or scampering out of the pocket and then getting out of bounds as fast as possible. It was getting out of the pocket and then lowering your shoulder into Roquan Smith and other linebackers. There was this, I think it was very telling that Shanahan was on the defensive yesterday after the game. Why was Trey Lance running the ball so much between the tackles? And he said, well, look, the Buffalo Bills do it all the time. Nobody's critiquing them. So there's this comparison between Lance and Josh Allen that, I think the 49ers liked. A big physical quarterback who can sling the ball, big arm, heavy arm, throw the ball downfield, but also can, take it to a defense. So I think that this is very much part of their MO this year. Even though there was all sorts of evidence from last year that maybe this wasn't going to be sustainable. And that's what all the questions were about in the lead up to the Seahawks game. Can you run him 16, 13? 16 was the number he ran against the Cardinals last year and came away with a knee injury in that game. And expect this guy to last 17 games. And we know Now we know the answer. The answer is no. He couldn't even last one game and one quarter with that type of style. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely fair to be asking these questions of Kyle Shanahan right now.
Matt Barrow's with us. Last thing. There's nobody in that locker room, obviously, that's happy Trey Lance is out. But I would imagine there are a lot of people in the locker room that, if having to accept that Trey Lance was out, would rather walk into fire with nobody above Jimmy Garoppolo. In other words, they you know, Eric Armstead, you, so many explained to us throughout last year that locker room was owned by Jimmy Garoppolo, and the way he handled everything in the offseason, he endeared himself and already was endeared to so many around the organization and so many fans. So Trey Lance hurt, sucks, period, next chapter. Do you think this locker room is a hell of a lot more healthy mentally and emotionally because it's Jimmy coming back under center?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I go back to 2018 and Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt in week three, ACL. And I mean, all hope is gone. I mean, the season is essentially over at that point. It's basically a tryout to see who's going to be here in future years. You have the sadness for Trey Lance and the sorrow and the somberness that you described going in, but nobody thinks that this season's over. I mean, almost the opposite, that there might be a bit of an uptick early on. Yeah, I mean, I think it's an absolute big deal. I mean, it's a shrewd move. I mean, everybody was saying this at the time, that all of a sudden you've bolstered the big quarterback spot with a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, and you saw that yesterday. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo came in and he ran the game plan that was designed for Trey Lance. So he had four runs. He had two read option plays that turned into keepers. So that's going to change, obviously, moving forward. But it just shows you the mastery that that Garoppolo has. Didn't take a snap in training camp. Didn't take a snap in the preseason. Comes in with somebody else's game plan on Sunday, and this team wins 27-7.
Oh, I should probably have my microphone on. Matt, appreciate you as always. Look out for Matt Barrows this week. Get yourself a subscription or two, like me, you know, one for the kid. The Athletic, go to the website, go to the app. That's what I use. The app is so cool. They're constantly updating it. You can curate it, whether it's teams, authors, a combination of both, which is what I do. I've got Kings, I've got Niners, I got Matt Barrows, I got Sam Amick, et cetera, et cetera. And make sure you support that journalism. Read all of Matt's good stuff. You're not going to find better coverage anywhere than our very own Matt Barrows. Buddy, we appreciate it. Thank you as always, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks, Dave, and say hello to Whitey for him. Say Matt Barrow says hi.
I will 100% say hello to Whitey tomorrow morning. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Take care. That is Matt Barrows. When we come back, lots of recap there. Where do the Niners go from here? Well, we know where they go. Boy, overall, what's the mood of the fan base? We've got some other NFL notes as well. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.
You ask for more 49ers coverage, and Sacktown Sports 1140 listen.
Let's go Niner game!
Get all the latest 49ers news and notes online at sacktownsports.com. Plus, make sure to follow us on IG at Sacktown 1140 for Emil Fragoso's live post-game show following every game.
That is what we expect out of the Niner game.
Niners win!
Your home for the most 49ers coverage in Sacramento.
Sacktown Sports 1140. Live and local.
Live and local.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Lots to unpack. Thanks to Matt Barrows. Sean Salisbury joins us tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
Do you feel better about what he said with the Shanahan and people kind of taking that Ed Warner tweet that you'd mentioned? That it's not really got you journalism? It's like, bro.
Yeah.
What changed between seasons 1 and 2 that you thought he was ready to take that kind of a brunt?
I think this is one of those things where, guess what? If you go for the 2-point conversion and you're down one and you miss, you're a goat. If you get it, you're a hero. If you leave Tom Brady in when you're up 41-17 in the fourth quarter, which you do a billion times, but you leave him in and he jacks his ACL, now all of a sudden everyone's asking why
Everyone's asking why Tom Brady was in when it was 42-17, even though, again, that's happened his whole career. Now, I'm not saying everything Kyle does is fine. I'm saying there's a reason why the phrase Monday morning quarterbacking exists. Because it's not like he's calling plays for Trey Lance to dive into the scrum, you know, feet first, and just wave his legs in the air. I mean, you're talking about a professional football player who's in his second year now, who's played college ball, who's played high school ball. And, you know, is Trey Lance brittle? Is Kyle Shanahan calling bad play? You better believe next year Kyle's probably going to be a little bit tentative. But do you really want Kyle Shanahan? Do you want the OC tentative? Whoever's calling the plays, do you want them tentative with a guy worried he's going to get hurt? Again, you want to run him into brick walls?
Kind of did yesterday.
I mean, he kind of did yesterday because he got an ankle broken. Like I said, I don't look at that. That is a play.
But the probability of the ankle breaking goes up when you do run stuff like that. It just does.
Again, isn't Trey Lance running the biggest reason he got the job over Garoppolo? His ability to move with his feet.
I think that's one of the reasons, yes.
I would say I agree with you, and I would also say it's probably the largest
playability. I think the big playability as well.
His ability to grab those air yards in ways that Garoppolo couldn't, but there's a difference between ability and execution.
Sure.
We've seen some execution, but we whine about game managers, especially old Niner fans who remember what it was like having Alex Smith for years. And then seeing Colin Kaepernick come in, and they were just two different types of quarterbacks.
But go back to what Kyle said in that tweet that was referenced in what has been said before. I think the idea that Trey's feet was such an advantage that Garoppolo has was not necessarily the idea that, okay, we're going to have set design runs for him 14 times a game. You know what I mean? Running up the middle 4 or 5 times a game. It was the idea that if pressure got put on the quarterback, Trey Lance, there was a much higher probability of gaining positive yards than with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just when Jimmy G's under pressure, he's not.
Sure.
He's not quick. That's not his game.
Sure.
You know, he takes a lot of sacks in that case. And that's where I think, and Kyle kind of alluded to that.
I would say 6'4", 224. That's not Kyler Murray.
That is not Kyler Murray.
It's 100% not Kyler Murray, and there's different types of running quarterbacks. That's that. As they said, that's more of a Josh Allen, yet he's nowhere near as big. You know, Lamar Jackson's 2 inches shorter, but you're talking about 6'2", 212. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure Lamar Jackson would smoke Trey Lance in a 40.
Yes.
I hate that Trey Lance is out. I will admit, as a Niner fan, now that that's done, obviously incredibly happy they have Jimmy Garoppolo.
And oh,
now,
for sure.
And now it becomes very intriguing. I mean, really, from a job safety, from a getting a bunch of crap point of view, with the exception of the questions about Kyle Shanahan's play calling, I don't like using the term, this the best case scenario, but because of course it's not, but it's
if injury happened, it was definitely the best case scenario. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, not for nothing, breaking an ankle greater than sign tearing a bunch of knee ligaments. Ankles will heal.
Yes.
Bones heal. Ligaments do too, but they don't always heal right. They're not always the same.
Right.
You got scar tissue and all that crap. And I'm saying in this case, it's a little bit more, it's a little, if Trey Lance has to be pulled because of lack of skill, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch almost instantly go on the hot seat, which is crazy considering the success they've had. But because they took such a risk, Trey Lance gets injured. Again, they might have hit, as we said earlier, they might have hit on 17 and gotten a 4, but the fact that they still have Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty amazing thing because you can't anticipate this. You could maybe think it was going to happen, but you can't anticipate this. And you and I both know this. That happens yesterday, and we are sure in the Brock Purdy era.
Season's over.
Season's over.
It's done.
It is over. And you say, well, maybe they could have traded. Well, who are they trading for? Who are they trading for?
Yeah, who's available? What quarterback's on the open market that's going to take that team, learn the playbook, you know, develop chemistry? That's a big deal,
right,
folks? There's nobody. The season was over. The season was done had Jimmy Garoppolo not been on the bench yesterday.
All right. More on that in the meantime. Couple segments left in the program, and we've been all football. We do have a tiny bit of baseball to get to, but just simply history in the works. We'll go back around the NFL as well. Don't go away. We're right back.
The start of the NFL season is upon us, and Sacktown Sports 1140 has all your coverage.
Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, and of course, all the NFL action every Sunday.
Your home for the NFL all season long. Sacktown Sports 1140.
Hey, Mars.
It's me. Hey.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
The only local sports show in the morning.
On Sacktown Sports 1140.
The 2-0 swung on and hit in the air to deep right center field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. In the second deck. That is a Judgian blast. Number 58 on the year.
But was he done? He wasn't done.
Pitch. Swung on, there it goes to deep left. It is high. It is far. What a home run to the back of the building. Another home run for Judge. That is a Judgian blast.
A Judgian blast. All right, so.
I hate that as an adjective.
I know. It's
Judgian's not a thing.
Yeah, but they like it. It's like
who's they?
The Yankee fans.
Do they, though?
I don't know.
Can we confirm that, Yankee fans?
I'm sure they do. Okay, I'm not necessarily, because it's a whole different thing. Like, what's the bigger story? But to you, what story to you is a bigger deal? Aaron Judge now really, really, really having the Triple Crown in play. Really having the AL record for home runs in play. Being 20 home runs ahead of second place, which hasn't been done since Babe Ruth. Or Albert Pujols hitting 700.
For me, I mean, this is just purely nostalgia kicking, and it's Pujols at 700.
Me too. And it really is. I know that we're full of garbage. Like, I know it's Judge.
I mean, 700 is such an elusive number from a home run standpoint. I mean, 500 is an elusive number from a home run standpoint. To me, and I told you this earlier in the show, I think Judge winning the Triple Crown would mean way more than tying or breaking Maris's record.
Yeah.
The Triple Crown is such a difficult thing to achieve. Not that, again, hitting 60-plus home runs is an easy feat.
No.
But the Triple Crown, hitting home runs is doing one thing, but hitting home runs, RBIs, knocking guys in, which is a big deal, and, oh, by the way, batting average in an era where batting average is almost scoffed at this point.
Right.
Dude, that's a huge deal.
Especially for power hitters.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Albert Pujols has 698 home runs. He's 42 years old. All right. Miguel Cabrera has 506. He's the second. He's in second place, active leaders. 506. He's 39. He's not getting to 700. I'm trying to look here. Giancarlo Stanton is fourth. He's 32 years old. 373 home runs.
I don't even know if he gets to 500 with injuries.
Mike Trout's 30. He has 346. I'm sure he gets to 500 probably, but not much higher.
Yeah, we'll see.
Bryce Harper is 284 at 29. Again, that's not. So here's my thing. Is Albert Pujols going to be the last guy to hit 700 home runs for a long time? Remember, he's a leftover from the end of the steroid era and the power era. I'm not. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's not me saying he did it. I'm saying he's a relic from the end of that era.
He's kind of the last guy, him and Miggy.
So which will happen next? Somebody after Albert Pujols will hit 700 home runs, or a pitcher will win 300 games?
Oh, someone hits 700 home runs first.
The 300 games thing's ridiculous, dude. Justin Verlander's only going to be 40. He's 39. He's played 17 seasons. He has 243.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it's insane.
I don't know if we'll see another 300-game winner in our lifetime. I really don't.
There is one guy on this list that is in his 20s for active wins leaders. There's one guy. He's 33rd. It's Aaron Nola. He's won 76 games.
Jeez.
Tied with him at 33rd is Kevin Gausman. Like, Jacob DeGrom is 34 and has 82 lifetime wins and is probably the best pitcher in baseball when healthy. That's bananas.
It's going to start, you know, the 300 win club's going to, it's going to be the 100 win club here in a few years. That's going to be the new barometer.
Really,
maybe 150 wins. Game's changing.
Also, again, I want to make my case. I don't think it's going to happen because not that the Angels are in a small market, obviously.
The big market.
You're talking about the Yankees. You're talking about the market of markets. You're talking about the Angels brand versus the Yankees brand. I just want to point out, Aaron Judge, MVP. Okay, I hear you. Shohei Ohtani on a team that absolutely sucks is 13-8 with a 2.43 ERA. He will once again have over 200 strikeouts. His walks and hits per innings pitch, his whip is right around 1, which is insane on a crappy, crappy team. He has 13 wins for these guys. Again, for a team that's 64-82. Okay. And, oh, by the way, he also hits, and he's really good at that too, Jay. This season, he's batting .266.
Which, by today's standards, is good.
34 home runs, 89 RBI, 82 runs, throwing 11 stolen bases. Now, that's not Aaron Judge, but he's going to have more. He's going to have somewhere in the 90s with runs scored, maybe even 100 if he plays his cards really right. He's going to have 36, 37, 38 home runs. He's going to bust 100 RBI for the second straight year, but that doesn't matter. What matters to me is that he is an all-star pitcher. He's an all-star hitter. How do you possibly give Aaron Judge the MVP?
Because we know how that works.
We do.
It's the MVP award, and I've always felt this should be changed to who had the best season award. And then all of a sudden it becomes a more – because I'm with you. I've always felt the MVP is the guy that, all right, clear all the rosters. You have the first pick, whatever team you are. You got to pick one guy next season who's going to be the best player in baseball. It's Shohei Ohtani. I don't think there's a team – I don't think there's a GM alive – that doesn't take Shohei Ohtani with the first pick, right?
I agree with you.
So, to me, that's always should be the MVP, because that means you are the most valuable player in baseball. But it never works that way. It always goes to the guy that had the best season. And we've seen that in all sports. And so, when you factor in, by the way, Judge, really good with the glove. And he is, again, very close to winning a triple crown, breaking a home run record. That's how writers vote. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that's how he wins.
Do you vote for Judge?
No, I vote for Ohtani.
Okay.
I always hearken back to, I use the NBA example here, when Steve Nash went back-to-back. I would have voted for Shaquille O'Neal those years. I think Shaquille O'Neal, he has, what, one MVP award? That's nuts, given just his dominance in the late 90s, early 2000s, and mid-2000s.
Couple of real quick things here. I want to go around the NFL with some quotes. Aaron Rodgers and his Packers bounce back from their week one loss against the Vikings, who may be better than we think they are. You never know. Again, it's very early. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers pretty much, I want to say throughout his career, or something like 0-74 in the first, game of the season, it seems like. He talked about his mood after the game.
Aaron, I don't want to misread your mood. You don't seem like super thrilled. How do you feel about this one?
Well, the second half was frustrating, but it's tough to win this league, so I'm very happy. Just like them, we expected to win this game. You know, I'm not up here surprised about what happened. Felt like we had a good week of practice, and if we just played our game, that this was the type of outcome that, could happen. But I'm disappointed in the second half. I'm just trying to, again, temper expectations, and obviously I'm going to enjoy the heck out of this one tonight. But we got a big one next week, a tough road trip, and it's got to be better. You know, this was better than week one, but we got to be better than this if we want to compete with Tampa.
The stoic Aaron Rodgers.
Very stoic. Very, very Belichickian. What wasn't very Belichickian was the touchdown dance. I don't know if you saw it. It was a reference, thank you, Twitter, to ayahuasca, which is the, you know, whatever, psychedelic-y thingy-dingy that Aaron Rodgers did. He was he was asked about that.
And were you part of the planning of that ayahuasca celebration, and would you think it would that out to you?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. And I was not a part of any of the planning of celebrations. They leave me out because when it comes to one-trick ponies, I am kind of a one-trick pony.
I know we got to go to break. There's no way we're getting out of this without hearing from Brian Daboll. 2-0.
Just stay true to yourself and have confidence in the players. They feel that. So, you know, we talked about it, and Mike recommended that play. It was a naked play. Mm. So you got a couple different options, and he made the right one.
Wow. Naked play, Brian Daboll. It's a good story. Giants probably aren't going to do anything, but it's a good story. It's a good story. I like the story. I like the Lions. I like the Giants. I like the NFL is better when these teams pop up and do well. And you're probably not going to feel that way if you're a rival of either of these teams. But really, does Detroit have a rival? Does Detroit have a rival? I don't think they do. Do they? I'm sure there is. Someone will say there is, but for real, is there anybody who roots for an NFL team that goes, that's our rival, the Lions? If so, congrats on winning that rivalry forever before. Good for you. You know, there's a rivalry between you and your wallet, saving money and getting value. American Energy is here to help you with a new HVAC home system installation. Replace it. Get $2,500 off a new HVAC home system installation with 0% financing and payment plan options available. There is no reason to keep putting off making your home a place of comfort for you and your family. Offer expires end of this month. Don't wait. They extended it just for you. Now, I know you might be saying, well, hold on, dude. Why do we need air conditioning if it's about to be winter? Well, it's HVAC. It's air conditioning and heater. So your heater is working perfectly this winter. And then, guess what? Summer's coming. Everyone's lining up to get their stuff replaced. Not you. You already got it done. Go to AmericanEnergyAir.com. Don't settle the high quote from the other guys.
What? Finish your reading. I'll go.
Get a free quote on your system from your second opinion partner. 916-520-9990. That's 520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. Tell them Carmichael Dave sent you.
Aaron on the chat has an answer to your Lions rivalry. Early retirement. That's good.
The Lions have a
well
rival.
Done.
I do. It's, we'll take a break.
Well done, A-Rod.
When we come back, we got news and notes next.
Sactown Sports 1140 is your home of the Las Vegas Raiders for the 2022 NFL season.
Tune your dial to 1140 for all Raiders games.
Plus, you can listen online at sactownsports.com and on the Sactown Sports 1140 app. What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Air and Solar, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
I mean, it kind of goes without saying this guy is hot.
Oh, yeah?
Jimmy Garoppolo. This is a handsome man.
Okay.
I'm sure has no problem finding a nice young lady to take out to Subway on a Friday evening for dinner.
Okay.
Also, going to make some more money this year.
Yeah, a little bit.
For each game that Jimmy Garoppolo plays at least 25% of his snaps, he earns $250,000. If the 49ers win said game, the number jumps up to $350,000.
That's right. He had all those incentives.
As a starter going forward, he now has the chance to earn $5.6 million via incentives in the regular season, according to Twitter.com's Field Yates.
Mm.
Interesting name. Who's not?
By the way, honorable mentions to Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, six TDs. That's pretty good.
The New York Giants.
Yeah, they're 2-0.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes, he had lots of touchdowns yesterday as well.
We'll get to that in the news and notes. Who's not?
The Bills.
The Williams?
Yes.
Why?
The Buffaloes.
What are you talking about? They're undefeated.
Well, sort of. Mm. The Bills host the Titans tonight on Monday Night Football, which you can catch right here. Coverage begins at 4 p.m. on Sacktown Sports. Buffalo has lost each of the last four Monday Night Football games they have hosted, with their last win coming in 1994 against the Denver Broncos.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Monday Night Football has not been kind while in Buffalo.
They're favored by 10.
Yeah, I think they break that tonight.
Yeah, I got a feeling they break that. Favored by 10. News and notes right now.
Stand by on this frequency.
It's time for the news of the day.
Thank you for ruining the show and dropping a steamer on my journalistic integrity.
Today's important headlines, intelligent analysis, hard-hitting interviews.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
Here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Oh my God, I love those guys.
On this day, 32 years ago, Goodfellas was released. I don't know if it's number one. Everyone argues, but I always try to Mount Rushmore everything. It's definitely Mount Rushmore. My personal favorite's The Godfather 2. But Goodfellas is right there.
Yeah, man. If you don't love Tony Montana.
I see what you're doing, and I'm here for it.
I have seen Goodfellas.
You know, it's funny because last night when I was at the family down in Rippon's house, they had Field of Dreams, it just happened to be on.
Oh, perfect.
And I hadn't seen anything. I hadn't seen it. Well, you know, anytime it's on, you watch. And Ray Liotta was on there, just a young, spry, I can't believe he's gone, Ray Liotta.
I just saw Ray Liotta. We were catching up on Modern Family, and he was in an episode going to Barbara Streisand's house. It's like, man.
Just gone way too soon. And I need a little bit of time to work on this, Jay. I need a little bit of time to work on this theory. But I was watching the end scene. Music's playing. Mm-hmm. John Kinsella turns to his son, Kevin Costner, Ray Kinsella, and says, you know, is this heaven? No, this is Iowa. And then they say something about this where dreams come true. And he says, well, maybe it is. All of a sudden, I sort of realize, has anyone ever explored the idea that Kevin Costner's dead the whole time in Field of Dreams, and it is heaven?
I'm sure there's a Reddit thread about
it
somewhere.
There's got to be something there. Like,
I mean, that's way too many dead people coming out of a cornfield.
Right? Yeah. And the cars coming, the whole supernatural.
Yeah,
I think Kevin Costner was dead in that movie. I think it actually,
or high.
I think it actually was heaven.
You know, there's a theory that Sandy's dead in Greece, and she's just dreaming that whole thing.
I don't.
You've never been down that rabbit hole?
I've never seen Grease, remember?
Oh, that's right, duh. You're one of those people.
Yeah, I just never have. I know.
I'm Mr. Movie Buff has never seen
never
Grease.
Never seen Grease. If you are watching, and we've had it on television.
You've had it on.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, sorry that I like to watch history. As they are there now, I believe they're beginning to wrap up. The funeral for Queen Elizabeth. I don't have any funky stats or anything other than, my goodness gracious,
she was old.
Yeah, she was, and I just don't know if you're ever going to see this much pomp and circumstance anytime soon or ever. I mean, there's no comparison. I think maybe the only thing that might compare to it, and I was a little too young here. I mean, look, they got the bagpiper going right now. It's just, I think the only thing you could possibly compare it to would be the wedding of Charles and Diana, and I was too young for that. And again, they didn't have the camera angles and technology they do right now, but you're going to get the coronation of Charles III. Quite interesting. Also, King Charles was, I think, truly going to go in the way his mother was, and just everything was for crown and country. I think King Charles would abdicate the throne. I think the monarchy could absolutely use Prince William and Princess Kate as your king and queen. I don't think anyone's excited about PC3 taking over for Elizabeth. He's just kind of a dingle.
Yeah, I can tell you're not on this bandwagon.
I don't hate him.
Sound like you do.
I just don't like. He's just a wiener. He doesn't have any of the queen's whatever je ne sais quoi she had, decorum. I mean, he has the, you know, he just comes off as a snooty, probably slightly corrupt Dinglehoffer.
Dude, it's a monarchy. I have a level of corruptness.
But I'm telling you, he's 73. You abdicate or you just never get coronated. And, you know, he's married to a divorcee anyways, I believe, which is a little weird for them. Not that I have a problem with it, but... And you let your son and daughter or daughter-in-law, you let them. That's a Camelot thing. It'd be a huge deal. Would massive boost into the monarchy.
Yeah, I agree.
I've lost him. All right. Aaron Jones has gained 84 rushing yards over expected. Aaron Jones has gained.
Oh, they said Aaron Judge. I was like,
Aaron Jones has. I might have has gained 84 more yards rushing over expected. On runs outside the tackle so far this season. That trails only Lamar Jackson at 86 for most of the NFL entering tonight's Monday Night Football. By the way, we mentioned Kyler Murray earlier. That running play on the two-point conversion, you said this. It's a banana stat, dude. He ran 84.9 yards scrambling around on that
pointing his finger.
That is insane.
Directing traffic.
There have been 17 games where the winning team had less than a 2% win possibility or probability at one point during the game over the last seven seasons. So 17 games where a team had a 2% win probability and came back to win. 17 over the last seven seasons, right? The Cardinals became the third team to do it yesterday, along with the Dolphins and Jets.
Of course, the Jets.
17 in seven seasons, three yesterday. That's wild. Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins overcame a 21-point deficit, by the way, to beat the Ravens 42-38. He threw five touchdown passes when the Dolphins had less than a 50% win probability. That's tied for the most in a game since 2016. Jalen Waddle gained more receiving yards, 73, on go routes in week two than he did all of last season. He only had 43 last season. Tyreek Hill gained 108 receiving yards on go routes, almost matching his production on the route from last season, 147 yards. When you think about who he was getting balls thrown to him from.
It wasn't Tua Tagovailoa.
It was not. It was Patrick Mahomes.
Good quarterback.
My guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
This is your new favorite player.
It really kind of is. I love him. And I loved him last year. And that was my... It doesn't hurt that I literally drafted him in every fantasy league. He caught,
so you're patting yourself on the back of this
segment.
I am
100%
doing
that. Eight catches or more for the eighth consecutive game. That ties the NFL record. He took advantage of off coverage. Five-plus yards of pre-snap cushion. Catching 7 of 9 targets, 95 yards, and a touchdown on 20 routes. Okay, finally, trailing 30-17 with less than a buck 55 on the clock. The Jets had a 0.3 chance of winning after Nick Chubb's 12-yard run. Their late-game comeback goes down as the most improbable since 2016 and those next-gen stats.
How about Joe Flacco's Jets?
About that. When we talk about national days of the week, today is National Butterscotch Pudding Day.
Huh.
Here's how I feel about butterscotch pudding. I'll eat it if that's it.
I've never even tried it.
Have you ever had a butterscotch? You
know, of course.
It's that.
Does Withers put this out? Werther's?
Yes.
Werther's, Withers? I don't know. I'm fading just like you.
Today is also Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr.
Right. I mean, there's really nothing, really nothing over the weekend we missed other than National Cheeseburger Day.
Turkey burger count?
What?
Turkey burger count? Had one last night.
Oh, turkey burger. Come on, man. Get out of here with that garbage. Turkey burger. For Jay Marsh, for Matt Barrows, I'm Carmichael Dave. Whitey Gleason's in with me tomorrow. Jay back on Wednesday. Enjoy Jim Rome next. Sports 1140 is what we used to be called. Now we're Sacktown Sports 1140. Almost got through the show. Bye-bye.
You want more Kings coverage?
Sacktown Sports 1140 is giving it to you.
You know, you'll be watching and thinking, man, like, I guess Keegan, yeah, it's not, it's, he's maybe doesn't not as good today. And then you look up and he's got, you know, 12 and 8, and it's, you know, the second quarter, and he is just so calm. so efficient.
I think it's absolutely what Sacramento needs. I think there's this sense that something special is starting to fall into place.
Log on to SacktownSports.com for exclusive content. SacktownSports.com.